Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 19, which is the last chapter in this canto. So I think after today's verse, we have about five or six more to go, and then we start the second canto. So today's text is 36. Anyata te vyakta gater darshanam naha katam nrinam nittaram mayamananam saṃsiddhasya paniyasaha anyata te vyakta gater darshanang nakkatang nurinam nitarang hriyamananam saṃsiddhasya paniyasaha anyata te vyakta gatir darshanang nakkatang rinam nitarang mriyamananam saṃsiddhasya vaniyasaha anyata te vyakta gatir darshanang nakkatang rinam nitarang mriyamananam saṃsiddhasya vaniyasaha. Vaishnavis, any of our visitors? Okay, synonyms. Anyata. Otherwise. Te. Your. Avyakta gatehe. Of one whose movements are invisible. Darshanam. Meeting. Naha. For us. Katam. How. Nurinam, of the people. Nitaram, specifically. Mriyamananam, of those who are about to die. Saṃsiddhasya, of one who is all perfect. Paniyasaha. Voluntary appearance. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death? Please repeat. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death? Srila Prabhupada's purport. The great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, was certainly inspired by Lord Krishna to appear voluntarily before Maharaj Parikshit, the great devotee of the Lord, just to give him the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can achieve the nucleus of the devotional service of the Lord by the mercy of the spiritual master and the personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is the manifested representative of the Lord to help one achieve ultimate success. One who is not authorized by the Lord cannot become a spiritual master. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is an authorized spiritual master, and thus he was inspired by the Lord to appear before Maharaj Parikshit and instruct him in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can achieve the ultimate success of going back to Godhead if he is favored by the Lord sending his true representative. As soon as a true representative of the Lord is met by a devotee of the Lord, the devotee is assured a guarantee for going back to Godhead just after leaving the present body. This, however, depends on the sincerity of the devotee himself. The Lord is seated in the heart of all living beings, and thus he knows very well the movements of all individual persons. As soon as the Lord finds that a particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead, the Lord at once sends his bona fide representative. The sincere devotee is thus assured by the Lord of going back to Godhead. The conclusion is that to get the assistance and help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord himself. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Sharane. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopaturubhya Shakripa Sanduma Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as I stated previously, we were winding up this first canto in which the sages gathered at Naimisharanya have inquired from Suta Goswami, because they're concerned. They're real human beings. They want the best for themselves and everybody else. So they've gathered at this sacred place, Naimisharanya, to discuss what is the best thing for us to do. Not just for ourselves, but for everyone, all humanity. And they selected Suta Goswami to answer their questions. Now, in this beginning of this canto, there was this verse, just a note on book production, because I've been involved since 73. When you open the books, any book, the very first, well, hardbound books, two pages you meet here, and this is called the end papers. In many books, these end papers are blank, but we take advantage of the space to put some artwork, some transcendental artwork. And then when you go to the next page, that's usually blank on the left, but the one on the right is called the title page. So on the title page of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find that there's always a seed verse. So this right away was the answer to the question. Lord Krishna has just left the planet. What is going to happen? So the seed verse for the first canto is mentioned there on that title page. Krishne sudama pagate dharma gyana dibisaha kalo nashadrishangesha puranarka denodita. Now we have quite a few book distributors in the room here, but you may not know that in the early days of distribution, devotees would take this book. You see the size of this book. They would take this to the airport and hand it to people. And some of them, I think Vaisheshika was the first one, but maybe Nakama knows better, but it's, at least I know Vaish used to do it. They used to go up and they would hand this book to a gentleman and they would recite that verse. Krishna Sudama Pagate Dharma Gyana Dabisa Kalo Nasudha Sangya Puranarka Dhanonita. This Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, and all other good qualities. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So this is what the Bhagavatam is all about. It's meant to give light in this dark age of Kali. And that's why we go out and distribute it and all of Prabhupada's books. We are trying to give light to persons who are in the darkness of the age of Kali. But we know that it works because we're also in this darkness and we're gradually coming out of it by being associated with Srila Prabhupada's books. So this was the concern of the sages. The dark age of Kali is coming in. Krishna has just left. What is to be done? Then we come up to the stage now where Parikshit, who was the emperor at the time, after the Pandavas have also left, they installed him, their grandson, as the emperor of the whole world. I've heard there are some devotees who doubt this, but Prabhupada stated it repeatedly. At that point on this planet, that point in time, the emperor in Hastinapur was the emperor of the entire planet, not just India. Some devotees seem to doubt that, but it's stated repeatedly by Srila Prabhupada. And we have empiric evidence that at least at some point in the past, this Vedic culture was spread practically all over the planet. Everywhere you go, they've found archaeological evidence in South America and North America and Europe and Scandinavia. Everywhere around the world, they've found artifacts and other things that seem to indicate that there was some connection to the Vedic culture of ancient India all around this planet. So therefore, it's not surprising that all of these ancient cultures, the Aborigines in Australia, the Africans, everywhere you go, they all have the same, or at least had the same concept of life, that there are demigods in charge of all material manifestations, a god of the sun, a god of the moon, a god of water. Everywhere you go around the world, this was the case. So is it that all of these ancient cultures, people were just like dreaming and sitting down and writing things that they were just hallucinating about? No. No, obviously there's some truth there. There must be. All of these people can't have just, everywhere you go, in the Norse mythology they call it. Mythology means that they don't understand. Just like Prabhupada says, mystic means you don't understand. Magic means you don't understand. If you go to a magic show, the magician knows what he's doing. From your perspective, it seems like magic. Oh, he manifested this rabbit out of a hat or something. But he knows what he's doing. For him, it's not magic. He knows what he's doing. So similarly, what we call mysticism, mythology, it means that we don't understand. And therefore, we label it mythology. But lo and behold, again, all around the world, the same mythology is there. That there's a sun god, that there's a moon god. That how? How is it that everybody came to the same conclusion? So there's some truth there. So Parikshit, you know the story, he was cursed by Sringi, the Brahmin boy, and he's about to leave. Today we have in the verse, Mriyamananam, of those who are about to die. So who's not about to die? Everybody's going to die, and therefore we have to pay attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is answering, beginning with the next canto, first chapter, Shukadeva Goswami will start to answer the questions, the two main questions. What is the duty of everyone in general, and specifically of a person who is about to die? Everybody is going to die. Only a mad person doesn't think he's going to die. And that is the most wonderful thing. When Yudhishthira was questioned by the Yaksha, in the Yaksha Prasna story in the Mahabharata, what is the most wonderful thing? Ahani hani bhutani gacchantiya yamalayam shesha stavara itchanti kim acharya taparam. He says, ahani hani bhutani. Day after day, every day we see people are dying. Relatives or people we don't know. Sometimes relatives kill each other. Just like there's a big story in the news right now. There's a former minister in the Japanese government. He's 70-something years old. Stabbed his 44-year-old son to death. Son was developmentally challenged, they call it. In Japanese, they call it. Hirikomori. Had mental problems. And so practically his whole life, he was always threatening his mother to kill her. So they finally sent him out of the house. But he came back home. They let him back home. He was 44 years old. And again, he was threatening the mother and got into a fight with the father. The father stabbed him to death. So this is going on. Every day, somebody's dying from some means, either getting killed or disease or old age or whatever. But Yudhishthira says, in spite of that, ahani hani bhutanti gacchantiya yamalayam. That means gacchantiya yamalayam means they're going to the court of Yamaraj. That means you die. And after death, most people go to be judged by Yamaraj. But what is the wonderful about that? I mean, everybody's dying, we know that. Shesha stavara itchanti. Those who remain behind, they just go continue with their desires. I want this, I want that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It doesn't sink in that death is going to come to them. The grandparents are gone. And people my age, or maybe even younger, the parents are gone. If you don't realize at that point that your return is coming, then you're really dense. But yes, in the age of Kali, being blinded by material desires and material sinful activities, people don't see it coming. They don't see it coming. They don't take it seriously. And this is one of the things that Shukadeva Goswami will answer. What you're supposed to be doing if you're in that Mriyamana Anam category, which is everybody. Everybody's about to die. So what are we supposed to be doing? Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit, he was not afraid of death. Why? Because he's realized. Now, before we come to the Bhagavatam, it's suggested that we read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the Bhagavad Gita, as we know, firmly establishes that we are non-material entities. We have nothing to do with this material strata of existence, ultimately. We are currently encaged in material bodies that we know are not going to last, that are always in a transformational situation from birth, boyhood, childhood, youth, old age. And by the time we get to the end of Bhagavad Gita, if we're attentive, we should be at least have theoretically accepted the fact that we are eternal living beings. So if we at least accept that theoretically, then what is the process for realizing it? Because in order to become fearless before death occurs, we have to become self-realized. So the process for self-realization has been made very, very simple in this age. We all know it. We're sitting here. We're practicing every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We just have to go on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. But there's a quality to the chanting. There's a quality. One of the things this reminds me, seeing all of you from San Diego, when I was in the San Diego temple, there was a gentleman, Indian gentleman, who used to come. Not during the week, but he would come every weekend. And one day, we weren't really close, but he just came to me one day and said, Prabhu, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, how many times do I have to chant this Hare Krishna mantra to become perfect? I said, well, there's no specific number. If you chant avoiding the 10 offenses and you're really sincere, the day will come when you're self-realized, you've reached perfection. He said, no, but there must be a number. How many times do I have to chant? 100,000? 300,000, there must be a number, a million. I said, no, there's no specific number. It all depends on us individually. As we recite every morning, you can go on chanting for millions of births and not receive the goal of the chanting, which is, what is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna? Krishna Prema. It says, you can go on chanting for millions of births and not get Bahujan Makori Hari Shravana Kirtan Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadan. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name, one could go on chanting for millions of births and not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of the chanting. Why is that? Because Krishna doesn't interfere with our minute independence. If we want to stay in a mixed platform forever, Krishna will allow us. You want to chant Hare Krishna, but still hold on to your material attachments, which is one of the 10 offenses. To maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So every one of us, we have to examine our practice. Are we chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, but still holding on to material attachments? I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Krishna will allow us if that's what we want. Although, at least on one occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, if you take to this chanting of Hare Krishna, if you follow these principles, Krishna will drag you back to Godhead kicking and screaming. In other words, based on his desire, Prabhupada's desire, we don't have a strong desire to get out of here. We get up every day, we chant, and we still look around and think, well, it would be nice to do this, it would be nice to do that, go here, go there. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with traveling if we do it for Krishna conscious purposes. But if we're not, one devotee once said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, I am going to go to, I forget where he wanted to go, Paris or whatever. And Prabhupada said, why? He said, oh, I just want to see. Prabhupada said, why are you going there? They're doing the same thing you're doing here, just maybe a little differently. Eating, sleeping, mating, depending. Everywhere you go on this planet. In this universe, what to speak of this planet. Everywhere you go, the same business is going on. Ahara nijabhayamai tadamcha. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Just a little different flavor, that's all. People think culture means we cook our meat a little different way from you cook your meat. That's culture for them. A real culture person doesn't eat meat. We're here to be trained in Krishna culture. And Krishna culture means Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanaya Tayacha. First of all, learn to give respect to the Brahmanas and the cows. And after that, everything else. Ultimately, the devotee respects everyone. Because they see properly, with proper vision, that everyone and everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore we... But you can't really love everyone and everything if you don't love Krishna. Otherwise, you're just on the sentimental platform. And the material energy will make an arrangement that your sentiment will go out the window. Today, I love you, I love you, I'm trying to love you directly, but then you do something and then I hate you. Love turns to hate. Father killed a son, the husband kills a wife, or the wife kills a husband. So many stories are there. There was one out of Florida a few years back. Husband and wife for decades they had been together, but then one day he just told her he was tired and divorced her and moved on to some younger girl. She went shopping one day. Maybe it was Christmas time, I don't remember. Anyway, she went shopping. She was in the parking lot of the shopping mall, and she saw him, and she ran over him with the car. Now, when she went to court, she told the judge it was an accident. I accidentally stepped on the gas. And maybe she would have gotten away with it, but she backed up and ran over him again. That's so-called love in the material world. I love you, but if you leave me or do anything, I hate you. So that's not real love. That's lust transformed into wrath and anger. But real love means, first of all, you love Krishna. Because if you can't love God, if you can't love Krishna, then how can you love anybody else who is not even close to Krishna? Krishna is the most lovable object. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna is Raso Vaisa. He's everything. So if we can't love Him, how can we love anybody else? We can't. When we love Krishna, then we love everybody else because we see them in relation to Krishna. We see them in relation to Krishna. So, Pariksit Maharaj is getting ready to go back to home, back to Godhead. Shukadev Goswami has appeared, and Pariksit is very nicely glorifying him. Not, again, sentimentally, he's factually speaking. Now, here he's saying that you're moving incognito to the common man, and practically you're invisible to those of us who are about to die. So, he wasn't obviously invisible. We have heard earlier, he was walking naked, and a whole group of women and children were following him and teasing him. So he wasn't literally invisible. But the pure devotee of the Lord is quite often invisible to ordinary people because they don't appreciate what the devotee has to offer. And we experience it all. You go out with your tilak, your sari, your dhoti, and people don't appreciate. They can't relate. It takes some time. And usually what changes their mind are these books. Or prasadam. Or the chanting. I've told this story many times, but in New York, this is where I'm from, the devotees used to go in the subway, and especially at this time of year when they couldn't go outside, they would put down a madras and half harmonium, kartals, mridanga, and a book table. And they would chant in the subway. And there was one newspaper wala, a guy who owned a little newspaper booth, magazines, newspapers like that, and he hated the devotees. He would yell at them, "Get out of here, you so-and-so." And if somebody would stop to get a book, he'd say, "Don't buy their books. They're cult. They're this and that." He would. But gradually, over a period of years of hearing the devotees chant, his mind, his heart changed. And he really started loving the devotees. Complete 180-degree flip. And he loved the devotees. If for some reason they didn't show up one day, he would flip out. Why did you come? And instead of chasing people away from the book table, he would say, "Stop, buy their books." So by coming in contact with the chanting, by coming in contact with prasadam, by coming in contact with these books, even the most inimical, angry, covered over living entity can come back to normal natural life. This is what it's all about. Coming back to normal consciousness. Krishna consciousness is actually our normal consciousness. It's not something way out there that we're trying to achieve, some far out. It seems that way, but it's actually normal consciousness, like a person who's temporarily mad coming back to sanity. So Prabhupada is doing that. He's making the whole world sane again by presenting this Krishna culture, this knowledge of Krishna, this process of devotional service, bringing us back to sanity. And we should not want to remain insane. Insanity is not a nice thing. Sometimes people think it only happens to those on the street. Like around here in this vicinity, quite a few people are living on the street, and many of them are, you know, not together mentally. Again, I was in the subway in New York. A few years back, I went to Rath Yatra there, and I was already living here, but I had gone back to New York. Just being in the subway, there was one woman, she was middle of the day, she was just like walking around yelling out, "Leave me alone," screaming. Obviously she was haunted, you know, just, "Leave me alone." So madness is there. It's one of the six enemies of the living entity. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. These are the six enemies of the living entity in conditioned life. But sometimes we think it only happens to those on the street, the homeless. But there are many crazy people who have big, big mansions. Why? Because they're completely surrendered to Maya. They're completely surrendered to the material energy, to the three modes of material nature, which are not kind. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they're always fighting for dominance. So you may seem to be a nice, upstanding, good person today, but if you stick around long enough, the mode of passion will come, the mode of ignorance will come, and all of a sudden you'll do something that your neighbor thought, "He was such a nice guy, I had no idea he could do something like that." That's because the modes of nature are fighting for dominance. And today's good person, down the road a little bit, will turn into a very bad person. So, following in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj, to summarize, we should be very much interested in knowing what we should do before death comes. He knew he had 7 days, and he became extremely serious. He was already serious, a devotee of the Lord, pure devotee. But setting the example, no other business. Gave up his kingdom to his son, Janamajaya. Sat down on the banks of the sacred river. Sometimes it says Ganges, but Jiva Goswami says it's Yamuna. And when Shukadeva Goswami came, paid all respect, offered him seed and glorified him. And Shukadeva Goswami will start to speak. So this is part of Krishna culture, knowing how to receive superiors, knowing how to be friendly with the devotees in general, not being neglectful. Prabhupada said once, there's no question of neglect when you're dealing with devotees. It's not that a god brother, god sister becomes ill and then you neglect them. That's not our culture. So I'm just mentioning that because our Ratna Bhushan, I brought him back from the hospital yesterday. He had had an accident. Now he's back home. And last night, Krishna Yovana made a nice little pizza party for him at home, and a bunch of us went to hang out with him. And we love Ratna. Ratna is a real Dambasi. He grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota. And he came here as a young man in the late 70s, and he's never left. And he's one of the pillars of our community. So we take care of each other. This is proper desire. We have a nice Krishna family, and ultimately the Krishna family extends to everybody, because everybody's a child of Krishna. But at least those who are already on the path, if we can't take care of them nicely, how can we invite anybody else to come? Why would they want to come? So we have to have a nice family atmosphere here. It is the time of the year when everybody is thinking of family. And so we think of our immediate Krishna family and our extended family. And that's why we go out with these books to give them the best gift ever. Knowledge of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada's books. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Prabhupada. Maya, microphone coming. What is your name again? I forgot. Jamal. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hi.
Thank you for the nice class. So you mentioned earlier...
you have to hold it closer to your mouth.
You mentioned earlier love on a sentimental, so-called love on the sentimental platform. You described that as, oh, I love you, but if you do something wrong, I hate you. So sometimes in Krishna consciousness, devotees or people may experience... that they are endeavoring on this in this path of bhakti yoga, but sometimes if there's something wrong, if there's some issue, they may give it up, or they may say, oh no, it's too much, I don't want to do it anymore, or something to that effect. So how do we make sure that this endeavor in bhakti yoga, this endeavor to love Krishna, is not also on the sentimental platform?
Yes, Prabhupada didn't want us to remain on the sentimental platform. He said, bring your logic and your reason to this philosophy. Is it reasonable or not? The very first thing, because the reason why we accept a spiritual master, we take to any spiritual path, is to achieve the ultimate goal. So ask them, what is the ultimate goal? Ask anybody, what is your ultimate goal? We know what our ultimate goal is, Krishna Prema. So does it make sense? Does it make sense that there is a supreme being, personality of Godhead? If that makes sense to you, then loving the Supreme Being should make sense. And if I don't love the Supreme Being now, what is the process for awakening that love? And that is discussed in detail, especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanoi. Shravanari Shuddha Chitta Koreyadoi, that the love for God is there in the heart. It's not something that you have to import from somewhere else or be given by somebody else. But by accepting a spiritual master, we learn the uncovering process. So if we take to the process seriously, very quickly, we should experience that. We should start to experience that uncovering and how nice it is. I know in my case, I joined in 73 between the ages of 21 and 22. Completely addicted to all bad habits. But just by reading one book of Prabhupada, I went to the temple, and by associating with devotees, overnight, I don't remember any struggle, giving up intoxication and everything. Just like that, by his potency. It's not that I was so powerful or anything. So by coming in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, this is what happens. Immediately, you develop the desire, generally. Sometimes for others, it takes some time. But generally speaking, immediately, you at least develop the desire to purify your existence. And when your senses become purified, then you experience directly. It's not that somebody has to tell you that you're feeling happiness in Krishna consciousness. But we should also understand that because we have been conditioned for so many lifetimes, since time immemorial, it may take some time to start. As Rupa Goswami says in the beginning, chanting is bitter. It's like having jaundice and getting sweet candy. Sweet candy tastes bitter to a jaundiced person. But if they keep eating that sweet candy, generally what happens is the tongue becomes cured, the jaundice goes away, and you start tasting sweet again. So it's the same thing with the process of Christian consciousness. In the beginning, it may be bitter. Rising early, taking bath, going to temple, chanting Hare Krishna, following principles, it may be bitter. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, happiness in the mode of goodness is a little rough in the beginning, but then it gradually transforms into nectar. Whereas happiness in the mode of passion, right now, I drink this, I smoke this, I get involved with this person, and I feel good. But then, it goes down. And then I want to get away from the situation, from that person, whatever. So we have to use our intelligence and understand that, yes, it may not all be, you know, nectar in the beginning, but if you agree that the goal is desirable, then you stick to the process and gradually become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and then the day will come that nobody could take you away. Like most of us here, we will promise not to eat meat. And I don't think anybody could pay you anything to eat a hamburger. It wouldn't. So similarly, all the other principles, the more you follow them and the more you get juice from chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the philosophy, nobody could pay you to give up Krishna consciousness. I was just discussing with Krishna Yobana as we were driving to see Ratna the day before, yesterday. Ted Patrick, that guy, how he said the Hare Krishnas, he couldn't break them. Because he was a cult deprogrammer. So the parents would hire him to take people out of this cult, that cult. But whenever he would try to take away a Christian devotee, he said, you can't break them. They would put them, you know. But the devotees wouldn't break. And these are even sometimes even neophyte devotees. They wouldn't break. Because even in a neophyte stage, you get so much neck juice from chanting Hare Krishna, prasadam, association, that you don't want to give it up. So when somebody gives up Krishna consciousness, something is wrong there. Something is wrong there. But Krishna won't give them up. They may give up Krishna temporarily, but Krishna won't give them up. Krishna will make an arrangement to bring them back to his lotus feet. Anything else? I think Bhrigupati had his hand up, and then Anil.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. In the early part of your class, you mentioned that it's not a coincidence that there's empiric evidence in cultures throughout the world that's very similar to the Vedic worldview, you know, showing that there was some connection, you know, the Norse mythology, etc. So, and I was marveling at that. I was thinking, when I was listening, I was thinking, wow, that's pretty far out, considering that it all happened independently, you know, because all these places set out in all different parts of the world, and so many hundreds, thousands of years ago. But then I was reflecting upon that, and I was thinking, no, why independently? Because he mentioned also that Prabhupada said that Delhi or New Hastinapur was the capital for the entire world. That, you know, there was an empire and it was being ruled from there. So if the entire world was being ruled from Hastinapur, there must have been methods of communication, and there must have been methods of transportation. And then I was thinking, now we get around and communicate by technology, but as recently as, say, 500 years ago or less, when, you know, Columbus came over on the, whatever it was, Nino the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the, that was, they were pioneers, you know.
Not really. He was actually late to the party. The Scandinavians had already come to America way before Columbus came here. So that's what I'm saying. People just don't think. Even if you think, how could they get around so much? Genghis Khan, just on horseback, conquered everything from the far east of Russia all the way to modern Europe. All of that tract of land, which is thousands of miles, just on horseback. And we know in Vedic culture they had other means of doing things that we would consider to be mystic because we don't know how it was done. Just like, you know, we know, we accept the mystic perfections, like Prabhupada City. Sitting in, let's say, Delhi, a person can reach to Afghanistan and take something. So they're technologies, they're also technologies, but we don't understand them. Therefore, we disbelieve them, or we say it's mystic, or whatever. But there are ways. It's not that, because we can't figure out how the emperor from Hastinapur could wind up in Cusco or something like that, or somewhere in South America. Just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean it didn't happen. This is our foolishness, our foolish pride in the modern age. We think that if we can't figure something out, then how in the world did it happen? But we still can't figure out how they did so many things in the ancient world. Tens of thousands of years ago, so many pyramids were built all around this country, all around the world, the planet. We can't figure out how they were done. They still can't figure out how the pyramids at Giza were built, or the pyramids in the Mayan culture. We can't, with our modern tools and cranes and stuff, we can't figure out how they did it. And supposedly they did it just with manpower. So, you know, I mean, we could go on and on about that. But just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it didn't happen. Okay, last question. Neil? Wait for the microphone.
So we heard such a nice class from you. So as per the last sentence of the Prabhupada's purport, it was direct mercy from Krishna that we received. Could you please read the last sentence again?
Yes, he said it. I know. I know exactly.
Exact words.
I know exactly what he said.
Okay.
He said that this is direct mercy of the Lord when you get a spiritual master. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada is saying that you get this is direct mercy of Krishna. I'll read it again. The conclusion is that to get the assistance and help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord himself. So again, that's not far-fetched because everybody, every living entity at every moment is receiving help from the Lord. The ant is receiving help through the super soul. Where is something to eat? The bird, the fish, and everybody is receiving help. So what to speak of those who are voluntarily, again, turning towards the Lord and trying to develop their love for him. Of course he's going to give them help.
Thank you,
Prabhu. Jai. Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.